O Lord, our God, we are so grateful for our Lord Jesus Christ and for His ministry to us. We're thankful that He ever lives to intercede for us, that He is the one that presents our souls to You. And that He presents us not with all of our sin, but washed and cleansed and sanctified and purified and clothed in His own righteousness. That we may enter into the true Holy of Holies, that we may come into heaven itself and find there that Your throne has become for us a throne of grace. We thank You for the ways in which these truths encourage us and strengthen us on our pilgrim way. It's our prayer as we turn our attention to Your Word again this morning that indeed You would grant to us through Your Word and Spirit a fair meeting with Christ, our great High Priest. That we be strengthened to run with endurance the race that has been set before us, looking always to Jesus. And may we know Him always as the great shepherd of the sheep, as our great shepherd, the one who holds on to us always. We pray these things in His name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, please turn with me now in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to be considering the final verses of Hebrews 13, final verses of this letter, the sermon, verses 17 through 25. And I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these verses together this morning. We have here the end of this sermon and in some ways the postscript of the letter, but certainly verses which are very helpful and encouraging for us as well. So Hebrews 13, verses 17 through 25, what you're about to hear is God's own word. May you give your full attention to it. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this, in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. Amen. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we come at long last to the end of our series on Hebrews. It's a series we began almost an entire year ago. I went back this past week and counted how many sermons we've had on Hebrews, and this morning's sermon marks the 36th sermon on this letter to the Hebrews. We've pointed out from time to time that the letter to the Hebrews was originally a sermon that was preached and then written down for the benefit of the congregation and also for ours. And as I was reflecting on that once again this week, I realized that it's taken me 36 sermons to say what this preacher said in one. I'll let you draw the conclusions from that. What took the preacher an hour to say has taken me over 20. But I do pray that our time spent together in this sermon letter has been helpful. That it's been convicting and challenging. but above all that it's been encouraging. The great theme of this sermon, as we have seen time and time again, is such a wonderful theme. It's simply this: Jesus is better. Jesus is better than the angels. He is the King of the angels. Jesus is better than Moses. He is the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus is better than the priest. He is our great priest who endures forever. Jesus is better than the tabernacle. He is our mercy seat. Jesus is better than the sacrifices. His blood speaks. Jesus is better than the promised land. He is our eternal rest. Jesus is better than Sinai. He is the one that brings us near to God. And so throughout this letter, our preacher has been exhorting us time and time again to look to Jesus. And in these final chapters, he has called us to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, this morning we come to the final verses of the letter, the final words of the sermon, where again we are called to run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And as our preacher points us one last time to Jesus, he sets before us three things that I want to look at with you this morning. First of all, the servants of the great shepherd, verses 17 through 19. And then the benediction of the great shepherd. We see that in verses 20 and 21. And then finally, the grace of the great shepherd, verses 22 through 25. So the servants of the great shepherd, the benediction of the great shepherd, and the grace of the great shepherd. We begin with the servants of the great shepherd. Notice verse 17, where our preacher says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Well, just a few verses earlier in chapter 13, our preacher had exhorted the congregation to remember their leaders, those who had gone before, those who were now with the Lord. He encouraged them to remember them and to consider the outcome of their way of life and to imitate them. In other words, to run the race that was set before them, even as their previous leaders had done. Well, now realizing again that the congregation was in a time of transition, in a sense, their former leaders were gone, new leaders had come, the preacher calls them to obey their current leaders and to submit to them. And he gives the reason why. He says they are keeping watch over your souls. You could translate those words loosely to say that they lose sleep over your souls. Now, the point isn't that sleeplessness is part of the job description of pastors and elders and deacons, though sometimes it seems that way. The point is that this is much more than a job. It's a calling to shepherd God's people, to shepherd them as under-shepherds of the great shepherd, to care for them with the care that Jesus himself has for his sheep, to love them with the love that Jesus himself has for his sheep. And so those who lead in the church, whether pastors, elders, or deacons, should go about their work not in a way that they are just checking off the boxes, but truly caring for God's people, loving God's people, watching out for the souls of God's people. And they're to do this as those who will have to give an account. They are accountable to Jesus. These are his sheep, sheep that he has purchased with his own blood. And here the preacher reminds the congregation that their leaders serve them because they serve Jesus. And so he's reminding the congregation that those leaders in the church who care for them and love them are really God's gift to them, to help them on their pilgrim way. They are God's gift to encourage us as we run the race that is set before us. This is a long race. It's a difficult race. It's not a race that we run in our own strength. We need those to come alongside us and help us. We need support in this race. And in many ways, that's why God has given us pastors and elders and deacons to support us in the race that He has set before us. These are leaders who make sure we know where we're going. They provide us with the nourishment we need. They check on our health, our strength, our energy. They come alongside us to help us run the race in those times when we want to quit and we feel our strength is so small. Well, the preacher reminds us here to let the leaders do this with joy and not with groaning, because that would be of no advantage to you. You might think here of a long distance runner, maybe someone who's running a marathon or an ultra marathon and needs that support team around him. That runner may choose to disregard his coaches. He may choose to disobey their instructions. He may scoff at their encouragement. But a runner that does those things will greatly disadvantage himself and make the race that much more difficult for himself. He will not be helping himself at all. And so in many ways it is with the leaders that God has given us in the church. As they seek to care for us, to love us, to help us. Let us listen to them in such a way that their work is not a burden, but a joy. To put it simply, our preacher is saying here, accept the gift that God has given you in your leaders who care for you, who love you, who watch out for your soul. They're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they are God's gift to you. And they point you to a perfect Savior. It's evidence of God's love and care for us. And the preacher then goes on to say in verses 18 and 19, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. The preacher has told us several times in this letter that we have access to the throne of God at any time and from any place through our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can come with boldness and confidence to God's throne to seek His grace and His mercy to help us in our time of need. And now the preacher says, in effect, to the congregation, go to the throne of God for us. Go to the throne of grace for us. We pray for you. Please pray for us. And dear congregation, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should know that your elders and deacons here at Calvary pray for you. Every time we gather together as elders and deacons for our council meetings, at the conclusion of our meetings, we divide into our districts. Your district elder and your district deacon pray for each one of the members of their district. You're being prayed for. And at our elders' meetings, we take time and we pray for you as a congregation. I don't say this to pat ourselves on the back, but because we want you to know that you're being prayed for. And we would ask you to pray for us as well. Preacher says that we can always come to the throne of God in prayer because we have a clear conscience before God. Everything that would disqualify us from entering the Holy of Holies, of drawing near to God in prayer, has been removed from us. We can draw near to God always. From the rich supply of grace that flows from His throne, we find the resources to act honorably in all things. And so the preacher urges the congregation to make these prayers earnestly, that He may be restored to them the sooner. He wants to be with them. He wants to walk this pilgrim pathway with them in person. He wants to run the race with them in person. It's a beautiful, beautiful witness to the blessings of the communion of saints. Sometimes we can take that for granted. The blessing that we have to gather from Lord's Day to Lord's Day to meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But if that's taken from you for a time, maybe because of an illness or a hospitalization or other things that are going on, and you're unable to assemble with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you begin to realize what a great benefit we have in gathering together. And here the preacher himself says he longs to be with them. We run the race set before us then with servants of Jesus encouraging us and helping us on our way. Jesus has given us pastors and elders and deacons because He loves us and because He cares for us. And so having looked for a moment at the servants of the Great Shepherd, let me turn your attention now to the benediction of the Great Shepherd, verses 20 and 21. The preacher says in verse 20, "May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the Great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant." And before we move on to the next verse, let's just notice a few things here in verse 20. First of all, that God is the God of peace. Peace is the absence of conflict, and God is the God of that. Peace is the absence of warfare. God is the God of that. Peace is shalom. It's completeness and wellness and soundness. And God is the one who gives that gift. And the preacher tells us how he's accomplished that peace. He's done so by bringing from the dead the Great Shepherd of the sheep. Well, again and again in this sermon, the preacher has proclaimed to us the beauty of Jesus. But he's reserved the best for last. It's a comforting thing to know that Jesus is better than the angels, that Jesus is better than Moses, that Jesus is better than the Old Testament priests, that Jesus is better than the tabernacle, that Jesus is better than the sacrifices, that Jesus is better than the promised land, that Jesus is better than Mount Sinai. But there's nothing more comforting than to know that Jesus is our shepherd. In fact, not just simply our shepherd, but our great shepherd. He's the shepherd who became a lamb. The shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He made the once for all sacrifice for our sins. And not only has he done that, but he continues in heaven on our behalf, where he ever lives to intercede for us. And if you want to think upon that and meditate upon that even more fully, I would highly encourage you to go home and read Belgic Confession Article 26 that speaks so beautifully of the intercession of Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, our great high priest. And it says to us in that article so beautifully that there is no one who loves us more than Jesus Christ. This is the love of a shepherd for a sheep. The love of the great shepherd who loves perfectly, who knows his sheep perfectly, who feeds his sheep perfectly, who protects his sheep perfectly. He is our great shepherd. And notice here the basis on which God raised our great shepherd from the dead. He did so by the blood. The blood of Jesus, which we've seen in this sermon, is the blood that speaks in heaven. It's a blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood, of course, cried out for justice, for wrath, for vengeance. But Jesus' blood cries out for mercy and for pardon and for forgiveness. We sang of that just a few moments ago. Arise, my soul, arise, shake off your guilty fears. This is one of the great benefits of knowing that the blood of Jesus speaks for us in heaven. It cries out for our forgiveness. And you'll notice here that our author says that God raised that great shepherd of the sheep from the dead, not only by the blood, but by the blood of the eternal covenant. Jesus' blood is the blood of the eternal covenant. It means that the benefits of Jesus' blood shed for you are benefits that last forever. This covenant is eternal. God has bound himself to you with a sacred bond. This covenant will never be replaced. It will never be undone. You always have acceptance with God through the blood of the great shepherd. Always. And you see the result of that in verse 21. May this God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God gives you all the resources you need to do His will. God is the one who works in you that which is pleasing in His sight. He does the work in you, and He's pleased by it. You don't seek to do God's will to earn peace with God. You seek to do God's will because you have peace with God. In other words, we can run every step of our race looking to Jesus. And so it is to Jesus that belongs all glory forever and ever. He's the one who started us on the race. He's the one who gives us everything we need for the race. He's the one who brings us across the finish line of the race. We run the race set before us under the benediction of Jesus. We run the race set before us with Jesus' face shining upon us. We run the race set before us with Jesus' smile upon us. Not to earn His favor, but because we have His favor. Jesus proclaims His benediction upon us because He loves us and cares for us. And that brings us finally to our last point this morning. We've looked at the servants of the Great Shepherd. We looked at the benediction of the Great Shepherd, and how fitting that our preacher would end with the grace of the Great Shepherd. Notice how he begins in verse 22. He says, "I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly." Well, here the preacher makes his final appeal. He asks them to bear with his word of exhortation. That's what this sermon has been. It's been an exhortation. There are challenges in this sermon. There are things that convict us in this sermon. But above all, it is a sermon that is meant to encourage us. And all of it, the encouragements, the rebukes, the challenges, those things that would convict us, all of it has been spoken in love. Notice how he appeals to them here in verse 22. "I appeal to you, brothers." These are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the family of God. We are in this race together. And our preacher says this has been a brief exhortation. You might read this letter or listen to the whole of this sermon and think it's anything but brief. But oftentimes as pastors, we think our sermons are much shorter than they really are. He certainly had many more things he could say, but he refrains from saying them here in this sermon because he hopes to say it in person. Notice verses 23 and 24. "You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings." He gives them here the good news of Timothy's release. Evidently, Timothy was known to the congregation here. Perhaps they had been praying for his release, longing for his release. And here he gives that good news that indeed Timothy has been released, and also mentions his hopes that together they may see them soon. In the meantime, he asks them to greet their leaders and all the saints. And he also sends greetings from the saints of Italy. What an encouragement it must have been to receive such greetings. I think we miss something of that today. And with all the technology that we have at our fingertips, we have phones, we have email, we have texts, we have Instagram, Facebook, and probably a whole host of other social media that I'm unaware of. But ways in which we can stay in touch with each other, ways in which we can greet each other and encourage each other. They didn't have those things. They simply have these letters. And what an encouragement it must have been for the congregation to hear the greetings from one who had pastored among them, but also the greetings of, of saints they had never met, saints from Italy. And what a blessing to pass along those greetings to each other. Again, it's a beautiful picture of the communion of saints, a reminder to us that we don't run this race alone. We run it with the family of God, with brothers and sisters in Christ, some of whom we've never met and perhaps won't meet this side of glory, and yet part of the family of God with us. And then the preacher ends with just that beautiful statement in verse 25, "Grace be with all of you." Grace has got to be one of the greatest words in our vocabulary. A simple word, and yet a word so full of meaning. And certainly the preacher means for us here at the end of this sermon to import everything he's told us about God's grace throughout the entirety of the sermon, to import it all into this one verse, "Grace be with all of you." It's a simple word, and yet so full of meaning. God's favor is upon you all, he says. We run the race set before us in the grace of Jesus. A grace he gives because he loves us and because he cares for us. And so at the end of this series, I pray it's been an encouragement to you, that it's been a help to you as you run the race set before you. We are all at different places in the race. You may have just started. You may have been running for a long time. You may be nearing the finish line. Maybe you're energetic and strong. Maybe you're weak and tired. Maybe you're looking back at where you've already run and you feel somewhat crippled and paralyzed by the mistakes you've made along the way. Wherever you're at, may this word of exhortation be a great encouragement to you to keep running. To keep running, looking to Jesus, the one who started you on the race, the one who will see you across the finish line, and the one whose promise comes to you today, wherever you are at in the race, whatever things you are dealing with in the race, the one who comes to you with his promise today, that he is with you, that he's holding on to you, and that he will continue to hold on to you every single step of the way. Beloved, you have a great high priest, a minister in the holy places. Jesus, the Son of God, is there before the throne of God, praying for you, presenting your soul to God, interceding for you, and holding on to you. And he will never let go. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we are so thankful for this sermon that we've been able to consider together over the months of this last year. And we're so thankful for the way in which it has pointed us again and again and again to Jesus. We've seen how he is so much better. And this morning we thank you that as we come to the end of this sermon, we are reminded once again that Jesus is not only our great high priest, but that he is the great shepherd of the sheep. Lord, so often in our pilgrim pathway, so often in this race you've called us to run, we feel so very weak. And we know the propensity of our own hearts to wander from you. But again and again in this sermon we've heard that you are the shepherd who never wanders from us. That you bear us up in your everlasting arms. And even in those times when we become wayward or too weak to run another step, our great shepherd comes alongside and picks us up and puts us on his shoulders and carries us closer to you. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to run this race, to walk this pilgrimage knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ will always, always hold us fast. We thank you for being our God, and we thank you for your great faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.